Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallam ala Sayyid al-Awwalin wal-Akhirin. Nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabi. Wa man da'a bidawatihi wa stanna bi sunnati ila yawmiddin. Wa sallam tasliman kathira. Amma ba'd. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the master of the first and the last of humanity. May Allah also bless those who call to his way, those who establish his sunnah, those members of his family, those members of his companions, all those who call to righteousness to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin with the greeting words of the righteous. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, again, it is a great privilege, a great honor to be with you here tonight. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would bless you in this sacred month of Ramadan, would accept your prayers, accept your fasting, and would make you amongst the righteous. Special greetings to our friends and visitors who have come from different parts of the GTA, from different parts of Ontario, here to the Islamic Institute of Toronto. Special greetings to you and warm feelings of solidarity. Also, special greetings to our beloved brothers and sisters, the members of the Deaf Muslim group. Our Deaf Muslims, alhamdulillah, many faces I remember from back in the 90s. And they are still with us, still thriving. And may Allah bless them and accept their fasting and their prayers. We also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make this month a source of coming close to him, a source of gaining his mercy, and a source of becoming better human beings. Alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah, Muslims are fasting all around the planet. Over 1.6 billion people. And if we look at the earth and how the sun affects the earth and how the sunrise and the sunset, you will find that at every moment in this sacred month, there are Muslims actually fasting in different areas. And so we're moving in shifts. Some of us are breaking our fast, others are beginning the fast, others are praying Taraweeh, others are striving in their day, calling to the good and forbidding evil. So what this represents really is a major movement all around the earth. Because Muslims are in every country, every part of the planet. Here in Canada, here in the GTA, fasting is a reality to the Muslim community, but it is not necessarily a reality to the greater community. And this is a bit of information that if it were known to the average Canadian, would probably put them in a state of shock. Because in the GTA, we have over 250,000 people, over 10% of the population in the GTA, who are not eating and not drinking, not involved in sexuality, not involved in any of the normal activities that people are involved in the summer, for 29 or 30 days in the summer solstice. Now, the shocking part of this that would be for people is that the solstice season in the northern countries, as you know, means that the day is longer and the night is shorter. And as we move toward June 21st, we're actually moving toward the longest days of the year. And alhamdulillah, our brothers and sisters are in Iqaluit. We have opened up a masjid far north in the province of Nunavut. Alhamdulillah, I can report to you that they are fasting, and two half of the Quran have gone up there to the north. Fi sabilillah, they are reading Salatul Tarawih in the Arctic Circle. Imagine this. And they are fasting. But they had a slight dilemma, because if you follow the sunrise and the sunset that far north in the Arctic Circle, there is no sunset. So that means that according to the sunset and the sunrise, you'd be looking at the sky and you'd be fasting constantly for 29 or 30 days. So you got a problem. Not so bad in the winter though, right? Because it's darkness all the time. You make iftar for 29 days. So the question came to the scholars. What should we do in this? And the scholars have shown us that in this case, based on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you fast according to Mekkatul Mukarrama, or you fast according to the closest city. So they, alhamdulillah, are fasting according to the times in Ottawa. So they follow the Ottawa, Canada prayer chart, and they establish their fasts. But even here in Toronto, this would be a shocking thing. And people might say, why are you Muslims doing a radical thing like this? According to the media, they know us as radicals. So this must be a radical thing that you're doing. Just think about that. 250,000 people, 10% of the population, refusing to eat and refusing to drink as long as there is sunlight for 29 or 30 days. 10% of the population of the GTA. A person might say to themselves, no, this is a hunger strike. This is a political action. Why are you people doing this? But our answer to them is no. It is not a political action. It is not a hunger strike. It is not set in order to expose the government. No, you're wrong. Then they would say, okay, we know about religions in the world. If you people are fasting for this long, early in the morning till late at night, if you are fasting like this, you must be punishing yourself. It must be penance. And there are some religions that believe that the more you punish yourself, is the more blessings that you get. One extreme sect of Christianity, the Opus Dei, that when they do something wrong, they have a whip, and they do something wrong, they look at something wrong, and they start to beat themselves. Because they believe that if you punish your body, then you get forgiveness, you get penance. Our answer to them would be no. Other people might say, especially the younger generation, they would say, I know why you people are not eating food. It is for social reasons. It is because you want to wear the latest jeans that are coming out. You want to wear the latest clothes, because now it's so tight that you have to literally peel it on and then peel it off. And the human body is not made like this. So therefore, most people have to lose weight, right? What is the best way to lose weight? Don't eat and drink for 30 days. And then at nighttime, do some aerobics. Go up and down about 40 times. Do aerobics at night. Now you should be able to put on the latest style and feel that you are in fashion. But we would say to them, the answer is no. You're wrong. And they might say, well, then what is the answer? And we would go to the second chapter in the glorious Quran in verse 183, and we would give them what Allah gave to us. And that is, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those who came before you in order that you would gain taqwa, God consciousness. And so the essence of the fast itself is not physical, not to show off, not to wear those latest tights. The essence of the fast is a spiritual thing. It is taqwa. It is gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important issue. For a non-Muslim, for a person of another faith, who may have forms of fasting in their own life, they may even have an allergy and they just stay away from food. Imsak, they do a form of imsak. But they would have to adjust the way they think. And for Muslims as well, what we need to focus on amongst the many issues this month is to readjust our priorities. Why are we fasting? Why are we making salat? Why are we Muslim? Are we doing it because our father is a Muslim, our mother is a Muslim? Are you doing it because the people in our village used to do it? No. We are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to readjust why we are doing what we do. And I want to share with you a few concepts of how we can readjust some of the benefits of the fasting, the reasons why we are fasting, so that if we have these reasons in our mind as we fast, it will help us to raise our daraja, to raise our level, that our fast would be a different form of fast, not just a physical struggle, but it would be a spiritual one. Number one, gaining taqwa. That we strive to gain the consciousness of Allah. This is the most important benefit from all of the benefits of the fast. And taqwa is made up of al-khawf wa raja. You fear Allah and you hope in the mercy of Allah. And what this develops around you is a type of shield, spiritual shield, a consciousness. It develops a type of consciousness within the individual. Taqwa is so important. Taqwa is that quality that enables us to make the right decisions. The consciousness of Allah, to believe that Allah is close to us. Think about this concept. We all have a form of taqwa. We all have a form of thinking about other people near to us. I'll give you an example. On one occasion, I was in Los Angeles, California, traveling with a very popular imam, Sheikh Muhammad Faqih, Jazahullah Khair, beautiful brother, one of the imams of Los Angeles. And we were traveling in Los Angeles. We went from the expressway onto the LA freeway, one of the biggest highways in America. As we were going onto the freeway, it's like going onto the 401 now. As we were going on, Sheikh Muhammad, who usually tells a lot of jokes and he's very active, he got stiff. And he started looking in the mirror. And he did his signal thing. And he had his hands perfectly on the wheel. And I'm looking at Sheikh Muhammad, he's a joker type of guy. And then I said, what's going on? And he said, LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department. Right in back of him was a police car. And you know, when the Toronto police are in back of you, you will become a good Canadian citizen, right? When you come to the yellow light, you'll slow down nicely and stop, right? If there's no police, you're going to go right through the yellow light, right? Why did Sheikh Mohammed follow the laws of California? Because LAPD. Because he recognized the presence of one of the most dangerous police forces in America. Think about this. We're talking about recognizing the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is above seven heavens, but who on earth knows everything that we're doing, everything that we're saying, knows what's inside of us. Imagine that consciousness. How then could you do something wrong? How could you lie? How could you cheat? How could you commit adultery? That's the consciousness of Allah. And if we could gain that alone, nothing else, it would help to solve most of the problems that we are in. Number two, we are seeking a nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By going through this fast, it helps us to understand the shortness of life. It helps us to understand that we are all in a transition. The same way we're in a transition from fast into iftar, and we're not fasting. We're in a transition also from the life of this world into the barzakh, into the zone, which is known as death. So fasting should remind us of this. It should remind us how important our closeness is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When somebody passes away, then we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We say, verily we came from Allah and verily we return to Allah. So that consciousness, fasting, should remind us of this and how weak the human body is. Number three, fasting will help us to acquire patience and steadfastness. This is a sabr. And that's something that we can really think about here in Canada itself, about what patience and perseverance is. Because if you say this to your friends, if all of your friends and colleagues knew what you're doing, they would probably say, I can't do it. And you might even say yourself, no, I can't do this. I need to find an imam to give me a fatwa to get out of this fast. I can't do this. But Ramadan is a mercy that when the believer makes the intention, it makes it easy for us to do what we cannot normally do. To hold on. Just imagine in a normal day, if you missed your breakfast and then went to work, and then you missed your coffee break, and then you forgot your lunch, you were running out the house, and you missed your lunch. Now the afternoon comes. That's three meals you already missed, right, in a normal Canadian day. Now the afternoon comes, and you're coming home from work or school, and normally where do you go first? You go straight to the refrigerator. But now the door is locked, so you can't get in. And you're waiting now. The key, you don't have your key, you forgot it, you were in such a hurry. So now you're stuck. And now the day is going, you can't get kit, you don't have any money, you don't have the key, you gotta just hold. Your stomach would be talking to you. You know what I'm talking about. Then dinner time comes. That's when your stomach is really ready now. Dinner time comes, which is now like your fourth meal of the day. The dinner time comes, and you can't eat, nobody's home. And now the evening comes, and normally you're watching television, doing your homework or whatever, and you're eating something else. And we may eat so much as like a meal in the third world countries, but you can't do it. Finally, somebody comes. They come in about 9 o'clock, and you're on the ground, half dead. At 9 o'clock, and they open it up and say, okay, now you can eat and drink. Imagine that in a normal day, right? Here we are, and we're here, we're smiling, I'm talking to you. I should faint, right? It's a normal day. That is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it also teaches us sabr, perseverance. And if we become a fasting person, then this can give us the next point, which is self-control. Self-control. That we can actually turn ourselves on, turn it off. And so when, after Ramadan, if you're driving along the highway and you come to a store on the highway, there's no halal food. You don't have to eat something which is halal or haram or makruh, hateful. Because you're a fasting person. Right? You have self-control. And that is so important today because the system, the society itself, in how it is dealing with us, it is playing with our desires. It plays with our desires. The desire to eat, the desire to drink, the desire to procreate. It plays upon the animal desires. So fasting is giving us this self-control, which in a sense is making us like angels. Because remember, the angels don't have desires, right? So you become, this is what we are in now, is like an angelic state. It's an angelic state. That you're controlling yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Self-control. That's so important for us, the culture, after the month of Ramadan. Number five. What this month can do, especially here in Canada, in the far north, is to help us to overcome our challenges. We contact our families and friends in South Africa, Cape Town. I lived in the deep south for 10 years. And down in the deep south, in Cape Town or in Chile or in Argentina, deep in the south, they make their suhoor somewhere around 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And they're breaking their fast around 5 or 6 in the afternoon, right? That's their fast. And it's cold, right? It's the opposite of this. Okay? But we have the challenge, which is actually a blessing. But this fast will help us to overcome the challenge. And that is so important to us because as Muslims today, with Islamophobia on the rise in the world, we have some challenges in front of us. Challenges to maintain our faith. Challenges to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have a sabr ala al-ma'mur. To have patience and hold with those things required by Allah. Sabr ala al-mahdhur. Patience with those things which are prohibited. Sabr ala al-maqdur. Have patience on those things that Allah wills. Right? To gain that mastery and overcome the challenges of this world. Number six, this can also give us the ability to gain empathy with poor people, with people who do not have food and drink in the way that we have it. Now we know what it feels like. I remember there was a great drought in one part of the world. I'm not saying which country it was, because it happened in all the different Muslim areas, but there was a great drought and the people were so dehydrated and they were so hungry that they could hardly get up and hardly move to do anything. And young person is looking at this and saying, like, do something, go to the refrigerator, go outside, man, it's Tim Hortons is somewhere, like, do something. A young Canadian does not even know what it is like. We don't know what it's like to be totally dehydrated and don't have anything to drink. To be starving to death and we don't even have food. So this helps us to feel what people feel who are unfortunate. to empathize. In other words, we feel what they feel. So this should enable us to give greatly from ourselves without holding back, to give to people who are suffering in the different areas. Number 7, confronting our fears. This month itself should help us to confront fear. And fear is not just fear of something like you're afraid of it. Everybody has fear. If a lion came running inside this room right now, it escaped from the Toronto Zoo, and it wanted to come to the Islamic Institute of Toronto because it heard about iftar. So the lion said, these Muslims have the best meat in town, right? If you want to see Muslims, you want to see meat, go to the meat deal and ask him. When the meat dealer sees Ramadan, he says, Alhamdulillah, Ramadan has come. Muslims are going to buy more meat in this month than any month of the year. So the lion comes here inside. All of us would run. Even myself, if I saw a lion come. I'm not talking about that fear. I'm talking about the courage. Courage is not standing up just against that lion, because your body, you have to have a feeling inside of you that you're afraid, right? You got to have this feeling. And if you don't have a feeling when the lion comes inside of you, something's wrong with you, man. So courage is feeling fear, but you continue to go forward. See the difference? It's not the absence of fear, because fear is a natural tendency. But it is having the fear, but going forward. Ramadan is in the longest month of the year. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to still make tarawih. I'm going to still go to work. I'm going to go forward. It seemed like a terrible thing, but I'm going to go forward anyway. Number 8, cultivating good manners. One of the benefits and objects of our fast is that we should not be fasting just physically, but also in our character, in how we deal with people. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, even spoke about that if somebody's arguing with you, then you should say, Inni sa'im, I'm fasting. And he also told us, peace be upon him, Rubba sa'imin laysa lahu min siyamihi illa al-ju'a. There are some people who fast and get nothing from their fast but hunger. So good manners. And that means that the fast affects our eyes. That we also learn to do imsak and not look at things that are haram. That's a type of fast. The fast affects our ears, that we're not listening to things that are haram. The fast is affecting our hands. The hand should be fasting. How can your hand fast? You don't hurt anybody. But also the hand would fast. If you're a shopkeeper, you're not going to cheat anybody. You're not going to be taking interest and usury. Your hand is going to actually be fasting as well. I don't know why in some parts of the world, in some places here also, dates become so expensive in Ramadan. Like a date becomes like a piece of silver or something. Outside of Ramadan, they can practically throw away the dates. Ramadan comes, it's in a special place in the shop, right? It's got a special price on it. As you get near the 10 days, it might medjool date. You're going to pay extra for your medjool dates. Lower the price. Lower the price in the month of Ramadan. So the hand should be fasting. The feet should be fasting. It should not take you into any area which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole body is fasting during this time. This month as well should give us a special connection with other Muslims around the world. We start right here in Toronto. It should give us unity. It should give us a type of connection with other people, other Muslims, other masjids, people of other schools of thought. We're all Muslims, we're fasting. That unity, it should come to us. These people are all fasting. And if you happen to be somewhere and you're outside and the time for fast, the time for iftar has come, and you're about to break your fast, but you don't have anything to break your fast, and you see, you know, a Muslim is sitting down in the grass, and they wave to you, and they say, come brother, come sister, have some iftar. Are you going to say to that person, are you a Shafi'i? Are you Hanafi? You're not going to say that. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there was a Muslim. And so a sense of unity, a sense of belonging comes over the ummah during this month. Our challenge is to maintain that unity after the month of Ramadan. To continue to look at Muslims as the same ummah, the same nation, regardless of their color, regardless of their language, regardless of their nationality. No, that is my brother, that is my sister. So that person deserves to get the date or the embrace, just like your cousin or somebody who came from your village. That is one of the resetting of our priorities should be. Right? Gaining the true benefits from the sacred month of Ramadan. Think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given as rewards. We also have to think more about this. Because we tend to just do it because it's a fashion. But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." He said that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan out of faith and out of confident expectation of the reward of Allah, all of the previous sins have been forgiven. All of your sins have been forgiven. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith Qudsi, he told him that all of the actions of the sons, the children of Adam, are for themselves, except for fasting. For innahu li wa ana ajzi bi. Fasting is for me, and I will especially reward for this. So there's a special reward, inshallah, for the fast that we are in, what we are going through. And I want to, in conclusion, before we come to the end, and just for a moment, I want brothers to just come forward. We'll take a slight break for a few seconds. Brothers, everybody come forward so there's more room for the sisters. Everybody come forward. Just a little. There's another row in front of us. Come forward, please. Jazakallah khair. So we give sisters more space. This is a real sunnah masjid here, right? In the Prophet ﷺ's masjid, there was no barrier there, right? But that means you got to be sunnah in your eyes, right? And your qibla has got to be Mecca, right? Not the sisters. That's sunnah, right? Not an artificial barrier like the Berlin Wall or Donald Trump's wall he wants to build for the Mexicans. No. I want to share with you at the end a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported in Abu Dawood, and it's authentic. And the translation goes that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I am the guarantor for a house on the outskirts of paradise for whoever leaves off arguing, even if he is right. And I am a guarantor for a house in the center of paradise for whosoever abandons falsehood, even when he's joking." So he tells a joke, he doesn't tell a dirty joke, right? He wants to tell a joke, but he still remembers the limits of Allah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "And I am the guarantor of a house in the uppermost part of paradise for whosoever makes his character good, and a house in the highest part of Jannah." And this is encouragement for us, encouragement that we need to make this fast something different now, to change our character, to learn how to lower our gaze, to learn how to control our tongues, to learn how to control our eyes, right? That's what we're talking about in character. To learn how to control our ears outside of the month of Ramadan. To learn how to control our hands. This is a challenge in front of us today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a complete example from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, a complete example that everybody can emulate, everybody can follow, whether you're young or whether you're old. In these times, it's so crucial to think about this. And when we think about Sunnah, when we think about the way of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, it was not only made for the Arabian Peninsula, but it was made for all times. It was made for all times. Even right here in North America. And so these are times when we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of sabr, part of patience, is giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they call sabr al-afiyah. How do you have patience when you have good things? You can see when a person's suffering how they have patience, right? But now you have good things. You have peace in the land. You have food. You have drink. You show it by shukr, by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a shukr bilisan, thanking Allah with your tongue. You say alhamdulillah. There is a shukr bilqalb, thanking Allah with your insides. Your very inside is really thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah willed for you to be in Canada. You could be somewhere else. Some of our brothers and sisters, wa'iyadu billah, are in terrible situations now. But still, most of them are fasting. And a shukr bil jawarih. And that is fasting with your limbs. That means you give. You take from the ni'mah, the blessing, and you spend it in ta'ah, in obedience. You spend the blessings in obedience. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in conclusion, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this moment to be together. We remember all of those who have passed on before us. Many of us have made a special dua for the great boxer Muhammad Ali, rahimahullah, who just passed away, and there are others amongst the Muslims who are passing away. So we remember them, all of those who have passed, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless them and give them the highest part of Jannah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. O Allah, do not take our hearts astray after you have guided us. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. O Allah, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Rabbana taqabbal siyamana wa qiyamana. Rabbana taqabbal siyamana wa qiyamana. Rabbana taqabbal siyamana wa qiyamana wa a'malina kullaha fi shahr Ramadan. Allahumma la tada'a lana dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la mayyitan illa rahimta, wa la hajatan min ad-dunya illa qadaytaha ya arhamar rahimin. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala 'abdika wa rasulika Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.